thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
I'm Wally. I'm in the building waiting on my boy Ice Willie TV. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene. There's a lot we got going on, but before we get into it, we're going to talk about, you know, this is the best time of sports. Travis in the postseason. We had the Washington Wizards. A lot of good things have going on in the world of sports. I know within my life, you know, I'm always proud of my family. My little niece, she won her dance competition. It's always a blessing. So, you know, that's always a good thing. But let's get into our tradition of pregame. Here are our topics. We'll have Ed Frankovic from WNST. He's our Capitals insider to the Washington Capitals playoffs. So we'll discuss the Washington Capitals playoffs at 8:20. The Washington Wizards' possible upcoming playoff matchup against the Atlanta Hawks. Excuse me. At 8:30, we'll discuss Russell Westbrook averaging a triple double and it being possibly the best individual season ever. At 8:40, we'll discuss James Harden politicking for the MVP. Finally, we'll debate if Vasyl Lomachenko is truly the best boxer in the world. But first, like I mentioned before, we have Ed Frankovic from WNST to talk Caps. Ed, how you doing today? I'm sorry, Ed. How are you doing today, Ed?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
I hear you. You're perfect. You sound perfect.
Oh, great. Yeah. How have you guys been? Long time no talk.
We've been good. You know, everything's been you know, cool. Everything's been COVID steady.
You know, obviously it's a great time right now. You got the Washington Capitals, in a natural spot. You know, President's Cup winners. But you know, obviously the talk around town is, you know, will they do what they've done in prior years?
Yeah, we can talk about how they're better than last year. I mean, that series with Pittsburgh in the second round ultimately decided the Stanley Cup. You remember how close it was? It was actually 16-15 in goals.
Mm-hmm.
Capitals won an overtime game and lost two. But they're a better team this year, and I think it starts on the back end with the addition of Kevin Shattenkirk, and you also can't discredit the fact that Dmitry Orlov and Nate Schmidt are not going to be rookies going into the playoffs this year.
So speaking of round one, in the first round of the Stanley Cup, the Capitals are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Verizon Center. What are the keys for the Capitals in this series?
Great question. I think the biggest thing they have to do against Toronto is extremely fast, extremely skilled. The first thing they have to do is can't turn the puck over at the blue line. And I know a lot of your listeners are football fans. It's akin to fumbling the ball or throwing interceptions. Yeah, protecting the football. In hockey, it's protecting the puck. And against the Maple Leafs, their strength is up front with Austin Matthews and William Nylander and Mitch Marner. These are young guys. This is Nick Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin 10 years ago. These are guys that will burn you if you make the mistake. It's Deion Sanders at cornerback, right? You throw a pick and it's the other way first. Pick six, right?
Yeah.
So that's what the Capitals have to do. They got to get the pucks deep and not turn it over.
And so I'm looking at Toronto. I mean, one thing about the Caps, and always in postseason play when we're talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs, is you know, high play with, you know, within your goalie or whatnot. Like, so Holtby. And when you look at Holtby, you know, there's games in the past in the postseason where, yeah, he'll shut down the opposition, but then again, he'll have that bad showing. Is this series very important for him just to provide his dominance?
Well, I think when you've seen Holtby have bad games, I think it's been a product of what's in front of him, especially on defense. You remember last year, they went into Philly and they got up 3-0 in that first round, but in that third game, Brooks Orpik got cheap shotted and ended up with a concussion and would miss the rest of that series. And that got them down to the five defensemen. And we talked about Orlov was still a rookie in the playoffs. Schmidt was still a rookie in the playoffs. And the Flyers were able to expose that to get back into the series. And ultimately, you know, then when they get with the Penguins, Orpik takes that terrible hit in game two and is suspended for three games. So they just didn't have to have the defensive depth. They also got beat a bit by the Penguins' third line. But Holtby, I thought Holtby, you know, Holtby, when he gave up three or four goals, a lot of it was what was happening in front of him.
Well, right now the Capitals have the the Caps do have the best defense in the league, so they're set up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you know, just looking at the Capitals in terms of what they bring to the table, special teams, they're a great power play team. Offensively, we already know what they have in terms of depth. And we mentioned goaltending with Holtby. What are the keys for the Capitals in this series, in your opinion?
Well, you talked about defense right off the bat. And being, you know, I'm going to go back to football because I know we got a lot of football fans here. You look back at those Redskins championship teams in the 80s and early 90s, definitely. They had a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Baltimore Ravens in 2000, you know, I'm a Baltimore guy, so I'm a Ravens guy. But I got a lot of friends who are Redskins fans. You know, Ray Lewis and that defense, you know, if you play defense, I firmly believe in the Capitals, you mentioned, they won the Jennings Trophy. They gave up the fewest goals allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe if you take care of your own end, your offense will come from that. And that's basically the way Coach Trotz's system works. Hey, let's not give up any cheapies to the other team. Let's make them go 200 feet. Let's keep the pressure on their end. And you talk about, they do have a great offense too. They were second in goals. So, you know, you look at it, when the Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2012, yeah, they had a little bit of a defense, but it was really their offense.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, the best, defense was a good offense. So, but the Capitals have both of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think the key is going to be, they need to stay on an even keel. Talking with Kevin Shattenkirk in the locker room after Sunday's game, he came over from the Blues, and this is his first time with the Cats, and he was in the Western Conference Finals. He was two games away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals and playing Pittsburgh last year. So he's got that experience, and he says the key for us is we can't beat ourselves up too bad when we have a bad game or a bad period, because you're going to have that, and stay on an even keel. And I think bringing him in, not only his skill set, but he's got some leadership to him. I really like that guy. I really think he's going to be a factor. He's going to help that power play that struggled a bit in the playoffs last year. He's very good on the point. He's very good at shooting the puck, so they got to respect him, and that's going to open things up for Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, and Johansson.
And you mentioned it a little bit before, but and once you go in detail with it, and for our listeners who aren't big, you know, aren't big hockey fans, or they want to support the home team, but they're not sure about, or they want more, you know, more information about why the Capitals probably squandered, you know, a good opportunity over the prior years compared to this team right now. How is this team different from, say, the team last year or the team a couple years ago that finished with the President's Cup?
Yeah, so last year, they raced out to that big lead, and the Penguins in the first half of the year, they were really struggling. They were actually, right before Christmas, they were ninth in the East, and they fired their coach. They brought in a new coach. They changed their system. They made some trades. And from January 1st on last year, believe it or not, the Penguins were better than the Capitals. The Capitals went into the postseason with the President's Trophy, but the Penguins from January 1 on were the better team, and they came in hot. While the Capitals, you remember that big snowstorm we had? Who could forget that big snowstorm we had last year?
Mm-hmm.
The Capitals never really recovered after that. Wow, you turn the calendar over, and the Capitals have added some players in the bottom six. They brought in a Lars Eller. They traded for him at the draft last June to center that third line. They really didn't have to do a third line center last year.
Mm-hmm.
They went out, they got Brett Connolly, restricted free agent on the cheap for $850K. He scored 15 goals. They had Daniel Winnick, who they got at the trading deadline last year, you know, really feeling comfortable. So they finally got a bottom six, a third and fourth line that could score. Last year, they didn't get any goals from the third or fourth line in the playoffs, where the Penguins just killed them. You know, the Capitals did a good job of stopping Sidney Crosby. They did a good job of stopping Evgeny Malkin. But it was Nick Bonino, Carl Hagelin, and Phil Kessel that did them in that third line. Well, the Capitals went out and they fixed that. And then my other big concern after last year was that defensive depth. And I talked about how Orlov is better, Schmidt is better, even Orpik's better. But bringing in Shattenkirk at the deadline has taken them to another level. And if they do get an injury, and you're going to get injuries in the playoffs, they're deeper there. Now, the last thing is going in hot. The Capitals, since January 1st this year, are the best team in the league. They have the best record in the league, so they're the highest. They're 11-2-1 down the stretch, and that includes barely even that game on Sunday night. Wasn't really even a game. That was like one of my Hockey North America games in the early 90s. Nobody hit anybody. So it was glorified preseason. So they're coming in hot. They're deeper up front. They got four lines that can score, and they've got seven or eight D they can go that they couldn't last year. So they're a much deeper team.
So can you tell me, they're playing Toronto again. Can you tell me about Matthews? I mean, he has 40 goals. We're talking about the first pick overall in 2016. Can you tell me how dangerous he is for this Capitals team?
Oh, he's incredibly dangerous. There isn't a thing that kid can't do. I mean, he does everything well. He's big. He can skate. I mean, if anybody goes out and there's a curious about this kid, Google this kid and read about what he did growing up. I mean, he grew up in the desert. His dad took him, his uncle took him to Coyotes games. His dad was a Kings fan because of Wayne Gretzky. I mean, Austin Matthews is the number one pick. He's the phenom of the NHL, an American. You know, he's not a Canadian guy. He's American. So we got to take some pride in that. Because of Wayne Gretzky. Because Wayne Gretzky went to L.A. and built that whole hockey palace, if you will, down there in the South. I mean, Arizona doesn't get a team if Wayne Gretzky doesn't marry Janet Jones and goes to L.A. So he grew up going to the games. He got this coach that was a really good skating coach. And you watch the way he skates, this kid can skate. He's big. He's got unbelievable hands. And he plays defense. He can actually play defense. I mean, he's not just a one-trick pony floating at the blue line waiting for breakaways. This guy plays both ends of the ice. And ever since the first game of his career when he scored 4 goals that first night, he's just been dynamite. And the Leafs have a really bright future. He is just a special player. He will be fun to watch. He's going to have a hard time, though, because the Capitals are really good and they're really deep. And he'll get some looks. But I really think if the Capitals manage the puck well, they're going to struggle to score because I think the Capitals will dominate their defense on the back end.
So who is the key for the Capitals to make a deep run in the postseason?
Well, I think you mentioned a little while ago, Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby has to be the guy, right? Mm-hmm. It's his time to be that goalie that's the hot goalie that nobody can get a puck by, like Matt Murray was for Pittsburgh last year, or Jonathan Quick was for the Kings, or, you know, Halak was the one year when they knocked off the Caps. But he's got to do it all 4 rounds. It always takes some quality goaltending. Now, Holtby has a history of having a very good save percentage and goals against in the playoffs, but, you know, this is going to be the year where he has to really dial it up and not give up any weak ones and just shut it down. So I think he's the biggest key. And then I think your next biggest key is just the team staying in their structure, playing the system that Coach Trotz wants them to play, and not try and get too fancy. When they get fancy, that's when they get in trouble. But when they start putting pucks to the net and getting bodies to the net, and you see TJ Oshie set a career high in goals with 33, Marcus Johansson career high in goals with 24, Justin Williams career high in goals 24. Those guys are the guys going to the net, and in the playoffs, you don't get these pretty goals. It's all a shot, a rebound, a scramble in front, and somebody putting it in. So it's going to be good goaltending on their own end and keeping the Leafs away from their net. And at the other end, putting pucks and bodies in there on the Leafs goaltenders. And then whoever it is next, whether it's the Penguins or the Blue Jackets and whoever, they just got to keep sticking to what they did. When they went on that big run from January up until the bye week, that's what they were doing every night. They were playing well defensively, and every night they were getting pucks and bodies to the other team's net.
And speaking, and this is a whole broad scheme. Well, a broad question in terms of looking towards the future. Alexander Ovechkin, you know, probably one of the greatest hockey players. Period. If he doesn't win a Stanley Cup, hopefully he does win once. I don't want to even talk this way, but if he doesn't win a Stanley Cup, does that damage or diminish his reputation as one of the greatest hockey players of all time?
Well, I think it'll hurt. Yeah, I think he needs to win one. And if there was ever a chance to do it, it's this year, right? Mm-hmm. Because they've really built a powerhouse. And as you know, they have 10 or 11 guys in new contracts come this summer. So this is a rare opportunity for them to have this team together. And there's no doubt he's one of the greatest goal scorers in the game ever, if not the greatest. I mean, he's playing in an era now where it's so much harder to score. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up in the 80s and seeing Gretzky and Messier, I mean, the goaltenders just weren't at the level they are now. And they have more equipment now, so it's much easier for them. And now they are better, too. They're trained better. They're better conditioning the goalies. So I think you could make an argument that he's one of the greatest goal scorers ever, and he's going to be one of the greatest hockey players ever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you really need to win a championship. I mean, LeBron was dog for how many years?
So true.
He did, and look where he is now. He went with Miami, and people gave him a hard time because, yeah, he went in there and built that team. But you know what? That's sports. You know, you go in there, and you got to put yourself in the position where you can win. And then he went back to Cleveland, and what he did last year was just I thought that was just amazing the way they came back and the way him and Kyrie just took over some of those games. But I think Ovechkin, this is his best chance. I think he's got a team like LeBron had when he was in Miami, when he broke through that with Dwayne Wade and who was the other
Chris Bosh.
Player they had?
Chris Bosh.
Yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I think this is the when you look at the Capitals roster, this is that Miami team that
Ooh,
year.
That's good.
Now, that's not to say they're definitely going to win because injuries can happen. It's a bad luck, but I think if they stay relatively healthy with the depth they have and they play the system, they're going to be really hard to beat, and I think that could take the monkey off of Alex's back. And if we do, boy, I think that DC's starving for a championship.
Of course.
How many years has it been since the Redskins in 91?
Yeah, 91 for the Redskins since 91.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a heck of a parade if they can pull it off. Who knows with the Wizards? I mean, the Wizards, I'm a Wizards guy, too. I still remember when the Bullets won in 78. I went to Game 6 when they blew the Sonics out.
Oh, wow.
I think I was 13 years old, I didn't get to stay up to watch Game 7, but I remember the next morning my dad telling me, they won 105-99, Kupchak came off the bench, blah, 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 and Bobby Dandridge, I still remember that championship. So let's hope that we can get this one, and maybe the Wizards can do something special. They don't have that dominant team. There's Cleveland there still.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole different argument. I know Ted Leonsis is ecstatic. That's all I know he's the probably the best owner in the game right now in terms of winning franchises. So give me a prediction in this Toronto Maple Leaf series. What do you have it?
I think the Cavs are going to win all four games. I think they're going to beat them in four.
Four?
I think
okay,
they're
good.
Too good. They're too deep. I think they're extremely focused. I think they have a hunger to win. I think they learned a lesson last year when they got up 3-0 on the Flyers and kind of let their foot off the gas in game four. I don't think they're going to do that this year. I think they're vastly more experienced than Toronto. Now, Toronto does have a great coach in Mike Babcock, but I really think they're going to win in four.
I hope so. Do you think this will be Alexander Ovechkin's breaking? I won't say breaking out, but do you think he'll dominate this postseason?
I do, actually. I think, and I like the way Alex has played the last 3-4 weeks, close to a month, actually. He's actually playing his best hockey right now. He got married last summer. And then he had the World Cup of Hockey, and he came in, and he was a little bit behind probably in his conditioning, and he's caught up. After the first of the year, he started catching up. You can see his legs were moving. He looks healthy. He piled up a ton of assists. I mean, he's not scoring a lot of goals, but he did still get a lot of points playing with Backstrom and Oshie. And a lot of what's happening is he draws a lot of attention, as you know. There's a lot of guys that come to him, and he opens things up, kind of like Cleveland. At Cleveland, in basketball, they all go to LeBron. Well, guess what? Kyrie's going to beat you, or one of the other guys is going to beat you down low. So I really think that he's going to play well. He's been pacing himself. He's been positioning himself for this playoffs. I really think that he's going to break out. His shots start to come around, and if the other team starts taking penalties, they're going to be in big trouble because the addition of Shattenkirk makes that power play way more dangerous than it was last year.
All right, great. So Ed, real quick, how can people view your content and also contact you on social media?
Sure, yeah. I'm at Ed Frankovic on Twitter and WNST.net. We're out of Baltimore, but you can go out to the WNST.net site and read my blog, and I'll be posting after every game. And I also do some radio up there, up in the Baltimore area. And
awesome.
You can check the audio vault out for those sessions, too. Much like you can, I know, for your show.
Yeah, I'm gonna check your show out. I need my Capitals to win. I need my Capitals to win. I do.
You can bet I'll be on Thursday or Friday morning after game one talking with Nestor, and we'll be chatting it up and seeing how we do in game one. And I'm always available to you guys. I know you guys are hockey fans. You're big sports fans. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot going on here these next few weeks with the Caps, the Wizards. We got an NFL football draft coming up. We got a couple baseball teams going. It's a lot happening.
It's lovely. It's a lovely time. It really is. It's a lovely time. All right. Well, Ed, thanks again. Well, I'm going to try to get you on next week. Hopefully, if the Caps, do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, let's hope we're talking next week. It's 3-0.
I'm hoping on it. All right. Take care and stay blessed.
Hey, anytime. And bless all you guys, and be good.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. That's Ed Frankovic from WNXST. He's the Capitals insider up there. Great guy. Knows his stuff. Knows his Washington Capitals stuff. Will T, say something, man. You haven't said something in a while, man. The world.
I just got in. You know, when, I guess at the beginning of your interview.
Yeah, man.
You know, if I didn't know any better, I would really think you gave a damn about hockey.
I do actually. You know, I used to play hockey.
Come on, man.
Let's play hockey video games. I'm dead serious. No, ask Al. Seriously, you didn't know that, did you?
In between,
I stopped. No. When I used to really like hockey. I used to. Al used to be a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Well, he is a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. You know, he's the anti Wally. So, I'm telling you. I used to play NHL. Do I watch hockey now? That's the question.
I guess I found out a couple things about you. First, they're your Capitals.
They're my Capitals. Yeah, exactly. See,
and two,
my Capitals, son.
You did a great job of portraying an actual hockey fan to give a damn about hockey.
I'm telling you,
really,
man.
Don't. I do. How many Capitals games did you watch this year?
I watched at least over, I want to say over 20. Seriously,
you BSing.
Look, see, you because you don't believe me. How am I BSing? Because you don't believe me, I'm BSing, dude. I do watch it. I know enough players. You'd be surprised who I know.
Okay. Look, I'm not gonna put you on the spot and ask you to name the Capitals roster.
I could the whole roster. I probably couldn't do the whole roster. That's terrible. I'm not saying I'm the greatest.
Look, they're your Capitals.
They're my Capitals, son.
Okay.
I support that home team.
That's what we're gonna run with.
Exactly, man. I'm more of a Capitals fan than I'm a Washington Wizards fan. I'm not even a Washington Wizards fan.
Sad.
Anyway, Taylor Jones has another team in the postseason. I just mentioned them, the Washington Wizards. they'll probably play the Atlanta Hawks in the first round.
No, they are playing the Atlanta Hawks.
It's not guaranteed yet. They have to. Atlanta's one game. Well, if Atlanta loses to Charlotte, they're going to play Atlanta. We know that. We know they're going to play. Exactly. We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saint.
The ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Come on, man. Start with the ice part. I hate that name.
It's so ridiculous. I like ice cream.
I hate that name.
You know what? I respect you now. Ice
cream. I appreciate that.
You should have been told me that.
I just thought you would drop it after a certain
point. No, all you got to say is Wally. I can't stand that crap. And it's going to be...
Look,
man, there's a lot of things. I didn't like when y'all used to call me Lewis that stupid crap.
Wally Flock of Flame.
Yeah, I hate that crap. I told you. I let that be known.
I was like, I guess he'll let it go in a little bit. You stuck with it, though.
Man, you know what? I'm done with it. I appreciate it. That's what it is.
I appreciate that, man.
The name is very important, man.
It is.
It's one thing I would not disrespect is the name. Anyway, we are on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports. No S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Team Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Team. All right, the Washington Wizards. Well, me and Will T believe that the Wizards will be playing the Atlanta Hawks in the first round. Do you expect this team to struggle against the Hawks?
No. Not. Well,
you real confident.
No, I don't expect them to struggle per se. I think that they will let one game go. Because of their lackadaisical behavior on defense, or mindset on defense, if this team doesn't come into the playoffs determined, knowing that, yo, we can score on anyone. They can, and just about in the Eastern Conference, they can score on just about anyone. But defensively, this team has shown over the past 15 games that they haven't embraced that mentality of playing defense that they did at the beginning of the new year when they came in off the hot streak.
No, I agree. I think that I think defensively this team has just been a bad defensive team all season long. We look at the totality of the season, right? We go into it like this team defensively hasn't been a good defensive team. So in that regard, I think they can struggle against the Atlanta Hawks. Offensively, I agree. I think that they can score anybody, and that's what makes them potent. But we do know in the postseason. Like, it's going to be hard to score like 120, right? Because at the end of the day, you're playing a team seven times. Well, whatever, you play a team enough times within a series that the team start to understand your sets and get to know what you do, and you get kind of comfortable with what teams do. So it's going to be hard just putting those lofty numbers in the postseason. To me, in this, you know, the Wizards beat the Atlanta Hawks, I believe, three times, three to one. But if you look at what Atlanta did over the last some odd games, I guess the last three games, I must mention the last three games they won that I recall, they beat the Boston Celtics, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers twice. So right now they're peaking, you know, and I think we all got to put that in retrospect. This team is peaking, and they're a talented team. It's not like they don't have any talent.
No, it is a very talented team, and the one person that can affect the series is Dwight Howard.
Totally
to me,
right,
he can totally throw the series in a totally different direction that a lot of people weren't expecting if him and Paul Millsap come in. Because to me, those are the only two positions where there's a clear advantage for Atlanta, and that's, you know, with Paul Millsap and Dwight Howard. Now, can they play together at a very high level? That's a whole different question. But they do have the way Paul Millsap plays now. You know, he's lost a lot of weight. He plays essentially a lot like Kevin Love, a stretch four. And Dwight Howard down on the post. We all know that when he took Orlando to the championship, he had, you know, he played with a stretch four. They played with a wide open system, and which, you know, four on the outside, one on the inside. So we'll see if Dwight Howard can turn back the clock. I'm hoping not, and I doubt that he can. But
yeah, and Dwight Howard's the key. I agree with you. On our Facebook page, my man Kenny says, in terms of the question, do you expect them to struggle with the Hawks? Seeing how both teams have been playing very hungry for the past 2 weeks of the season, I don't think that this will be a cakewalk. But I do expect the Wiz to pull out a six-game win. John Wall and Bradley Beal are the second best backcourt in the league. I agree with that.
I got this in five.
I want to say I got this. I like six. You know what? I kind of like six.
I think this is if John Wall and Bradley Beal come out and dictate the pace, mm-hmm. and not kill the hardwood, mm-hmm. you know, pass up a good shot for a great shot. Mm-hmm. This thing could be over in five, in my opinion.
I mean, if everything goes right, it could.
I mean, it could be. You know, John Wall has had his problems with speedier point guard, mm-hmm. with faster point guards. You know, to me, that's why I was glad that they didn't get the matchup against the Indiana Pacers, because Jeff Teague John Wall's lunch. Yeah, that Milwaukee with the length, that would have been a problematic matchup.
And also, on our Facebook page, Dr. Joe Rosario said, not at all. The Wizards have a strong bench. ATL has a couple of guys coming off the bench, but for the most part, we are the team to beat. Our depth is solid, and as long as Oubre continues to take the ball to the hole and stops taking jump shots, the threat is more viable. Cleveland doesn't want to see us. Ooh, Cleveland doesn't want to see us.
That's interesting that he said that, because actually last night on TNT,
that's been breaking waves right now.
What? Barkley. Yeah, Barkley stated that he thinks that Cleveland sat out LeBron and Kyrie against the Miami Heat so they can avoid a second round matchup with the Wizards. I don't necessarily know that's true or not, but I understand that him being a former player, he's been in those locker rooms, and coaches and players are often, they'll look at the potential matchup in the playoffs come the last couple of games and say, okay, can we affect our seeding and our standing so we can avoid these guys, you know, in the first or second round? So, I mean, it's possible.
Anything's possible.
I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, Kevin Durant, Kevin Garnett said anything's possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. Do I think they went into it with that thing, Tyronn Lue and LeBron James? I think it's definitely possible. I think they know if they face the Wizards in the second round, it will be a seven. You know, if the Wizards are able to make it to the championship series, it'll be a seven round. It'll be a seven game series. I totally believe that. But to me, Boston, you know, if the Wizards do stay in, well, the Wizards are number four. If Boston is able to stay in the number one position, that second round matchup against Boston is going to be tough.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome in terms of just must-see TV.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'd be awesome, but it's going to be a nail. Yeah, it's going to be, if you're a Wizards fan, you're going to be on the edge of your seat for however long the series ends.
Very winnable.
It's winnable, but Brad Stevens always makes, has the ability to make those in-game adjustments, and he always comes out and has a different a tweak to their defense.
No, I agree. Also on Facebook, Stanley Wooten said it's going to be a tough matchup, but hearing that Wall wants to play them. John Wall wants to play the Hawks. I didn't know he wanted to play the Hawks.
I didn't know either. Mm-hmm. Look, any way you put it, if the Wizards versus the Hawks, and then if the Wizards are able to win and they make it to the Boston Celtics in the semifinals, it's going to be two fantastic series that you have to see. And I hope that this town comes out in masses to support.
To my man that, you know, is going to be an MVP, Russell Westbrook, he will end the season averaging a triple-double. Is this the best individual season ever? We'll discuss that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Saying.
For ages. Deuces.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all, just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up.
I know that the ice was about to come out, man.
I'm practicing, man. I'm making sure. Like, I'm like, I ain't going to disrespect this man.
I mean, you know, I respect. I appreciate you at least trying.
No, we ain't gonna try. We won't be successful. You know what I mean? Glory, we want to make sure this thing goes down. That name was done. It's going to be retired.
I appreciate that, man.
All right. Right now, Russell Westbrook is averaging 31.9 points per game, 10.7 rebounds, and 10.4 assists. He will end the season averaging a triple-double. Is this the best season ever?
It's tough to say. Wilt once averaged, what, 50 points a season? He averaged 50. The 61 season, he averaged 50. He averaged 50 in, I think, 14. 14 assists, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it was 14 rebounds. But hold on. I think he actually way more than 14 rebounds. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say this is statistically the best season ever. I will say that this is... I will say that this is the one season that a guy has truly put, taking into consideration the talent that's on that team, and taking into consideration they are 12-35 when he doesn't get a triple double. This is the one. I think this is a season where a player has totally put it all on his shoulders to help to take his team to the finish line.
Yeah, speaking of Will Chamberlain, that year, somewhere he averaged 50. It was 1961-1962. He averaged 50 points, 25 rebounds. That was...
Yeah, so I mean...
His assist was, he averaged 2 assists per day.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I forgot. I didn't know if it was assist or rebounds. It was something absurd. He didn't win the MVP that season.
Yeah, so you're looking at Will Chamberlain.
That's the season that Bill Russell won the MVP, and that's also the season that Oscar Robertson averaged a triple double.
Yeah, I
know. Only reason I know is because I was trying to put things in context, and I was looking up past statistics. But yeah. 50-25, come on, a triple double. I respect it. That's encompassing that's so of hard. Everything. I kind of think but about 50-25,
like I actually thought that.
Even though I know, I'm pretty sure that Wilt was what 7-1, 7-2.
Yeah, I hate the argument when people use it, but I get it.
No, I mean, and I was gonna say he was like 7-1, 7-2, and outside of probably Bill Russell, he probably didn't see another 6'10" or 6'11" guy.
But it's like...
No, I get it. It still takes an incredible amount of effort that you have to exert.
Like, to score that much?
To score that many points and grab that many rebounds. I get it. Trust me. Just like I think when people say things like Russell Westbrook was getting empty rebounds, right? Mm-hmm. His teammates was allowing him to get those rebounds.
Yeah.
Nah.
No.
Because he still had to exert a certain level of effort. It's not like, everyone, or maybe, I don't know what goes on in that locker room. They were like, okay, when Russ goes to the board, everybody back away. I don't think that's the case. I truly don't believe that's the case.
Like, I don't know, man. When I look at Russell Westbrook, I do think, I like to put it this way. In terms of modern day basketball, it's the best season ever. It is, like, individually. It's the best season ever. When I look at the stats, I gotta look at stats like you mentioned. When I look back, I wanted to look back at like Oscar Robertson's stats.
Well, I'll say this. I it depends on what statistics you want to look at, because there's some people who look at efficiency, right?
Yeah. Sure.
And there's some people who say that Steph Curry's season last year, they feel as if it was better than Russell Westbrook because Steph Curry did something that's very hard for you to do in basketball from a shooting percentage wise, which is 90 from the free throw, 50 from the field, and 40 from 3-point. Mm-hmm. So, and some people will say from an efficiency standpoint, they find that far more impressive.
Yeah.
Whereas, me, I look at Russell Westbrook and I take into account, okay, when he didn't get a triple double, what was the team record? And that's why when I researched today, I think I'm pretty sure like 98%, 98.5% that they were 12-35 when he didn't have a triple double. They were 12-35 when he didn't have a triple double. His triple doubles are truly impactful, and he had to get a triple double because, let's be realistic, the talent on that team very minimal, very lacking.
Like the talent is not that bad.
No, I'm saying we can say the talent isn't that bad, but the level I think there's two distinctions you have to have when you have this conversation. You can have talent, right? But does the talent rise to the occasion? And this talent rise to the occasion.
It's hard to. I think that, I think that that's more of the way that team was offensive. The way that team was coached, in a way. I feel like everything is tailored for Russell Westbrook. I'm not knocking it. I think to even perform it, to perform knowing that you have to do everything for this team to rock. I think that's great. I think it's awesome. But at the same time, I think if there was more ball movement, I think you would have more impact from other players.
I totally agree. I've always said, don't get me wrong, I like Russell Westbrook as a player.
Yeah.
I like what he represents as a man.
Me too.
But I've always said you'll never win a championship with Russell Westbrook as your primary ball handler.
I agree. I'm like, because you look at it, look, I mean, think about it. The man is like dominated in terms of being like a triple-double machine. But look at his field goal percentage. I mean, dude shoots 42%. You know what I mean? Like, you went, to be real with you, when you think of a guy who does put up triple-double numbers, you don't think of a guy who shoots as a volume shooter, right? You think of a guy that shares the wealth, takes high percentage shots, and gets everybody involved. If you look at it for what it is, because he has the ball in his hands so much, and because he's an aggressive rebounder, it makes it quite deep. Like, I'm not going to say the rebound. I'm very impressed with him for a 6'4 dude to get rebounds. So I'm not going to diminish the rebounds. You will never hear me do that. But I do think it makes it quite easy to average, to do a double-double.
Yeah, just look at James Harden, right?
Yeah.
James Harden, look what James Harden did. Right. James Harden came close to averaging a triple-double. James Harden handles the ball just as much, if not more, as Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
But the thing is, James Harden doesn't take as many shots.
Exactly.
Because the way that offense is designed, it's to open. It's not even ball movement. It's more dribble drive.
That's true. Yeah.
Dribble drive and kick, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, and Ryan Anderson.
True. Very true, very true. Also, on our Twitter page, this is actually going back to the Washington Wizards Atlanta talk. My man Patrick said Wall wants ATL because he was injured against them in the last playoff appearance for the Wiz. So, and he said Harden for MVP.
You can make a very good case for James Harden. All I'm saying is Russell Westbrook's triple doubles were essential to his team.
Yeah, historic.
It's historic. It's not like he just averaged triple. No, he averaged a triple double and he set the record for the most triple doubles.
Yeah, I mean, it's historic. I don't 42, right?
42, yes.
I mean, it's like, it's historic to me. I feel like that's the reason why. I get why James, and we'll talk about it too. I get why James Harden is annoyed, but you gotta look at it for what it is. His in terms of history, the man averaged a triple double. Take it for what it is, and it is what it is.
And two, I can also make the case that, yes, James Harden does have the statistics to be the MVP, but there's another point guard that played in the system that he played in, and we can say that system is what helped elevate his play to the MVP level.
Very good point. That's right. Very good point. Like I'm talking about. See, here, using your knowledge.
Yes, sir.
That's that college education. That's that college education. Anyway, do you think Westbrook, is Westbrook your MVP?
Yes, without a doubt.
Without a doubt,
he's my MVP.
I think Westbrook's my MVP, too. I don't have any argument with it. Anyway, we're going to talk about James Harden. James Harden has been politicking for MVP. You've heard, right?
I haven't.
He's been politicking. Is that cool? The question for you all is that cool? We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Chin, Uncle Paulie, P. Diddy, Cesar Leo, De Janeiro, Charlie Baltimore, Iceberg Slim, The Most Shady, Frankie Baby. We here. We ain't going nowhere. Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The V.I.G. I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing, we'll reach the foot of ceiling. Check it, my calico been cop. This rap Alfred Hitchcock drop top notch. Player hating won't stop. This instant, rappers too persistent. Quick to spit, Biggie name on. Make my name taste like ass when you speak it. See me in the street, your jewelry, you can keep it. That be our little secret, see me. Be that is, I that is, G-Wiz. Suckers for the feeling my big. I hope they know my new gutter for kidnap kids. I'm in they air, throw them over the bridge. That's how it is, my shit is laid out. What? That be shit, that shit is played out. Y'all got the goal, all I make is one phone call. All y'all disappear by tomorrow. All your guns is borrowed. I don't feel sorrow. Actually, your man passed the gap to me. I check.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, Hill Real T.
Deep as
We just thought we were talking about James Harden before the break and during the break. James Harden is now saying that the top factor of the MVP race should be wins. Are you cool with James Harden politicking?
No. No, I'm not. I know that everything, it seems like everything now in this world is political.
Mm-hmm.
You know, awards, you know, other awards, whether it's music, whether it's art in general, whether it's sport, you know, people want to politic. They want to go out here and toot their own horn,
mm-hmm.
using various social media platforms and other forms of media. But no, let's keep it to the play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand James Harden has a very compelling case for MVP. You know, he's led his team to 54 wins, but like I said, I can say that it's the system that's helped him. And good I can point. Also take it a step further that it's not necessarily you, but the shooters that Daryl Morey added in the offseason, you know, that's helped you take your game or take this team to another level.
Yeah, and my thing, I don't want to get into like. Well, I think James Harden has a lot to do with it. I like the way he's been playing ball, right? But if you're going to use that argument, right, you're saying wins, right? So let's use your argument, right? If you don't want to give it to Westbrook, your argument is that wins is the reason, right? There's a guy in San Antonio that plays offense and defense that has more wins than you.
Absolutely.
If you're going to use that argument,
and I will also make the argument that he plays in a system that kind of. Realistically, will prohibit most players from averaging the 25 points a game that he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, if we're going off of wins, then you have to give it to Durant, Curry, or Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're going
to... Let's base it strictly on play.
Yes, on play. I mean, again, the reason why I go with Westbrook over Harden is that, and we mentioned it, like we talked about it, is that it's historic. And for you, like you mentioned before, like his triple doubles were needed.
let me ask you this. If you had to place, if you were a voter and you were able to vote, how would your top, let's say top four ballot.
For my vote? My vote?
Yes.
It would go Westbrook, Harden, LeBron. No, not LeBron. It would go Kawhi, LeBron.
What? So that's four. That's
four. Sure, yes. That's what that would go there.
Mine would go Westbrook, Kawhi,
mm-hmm.
John Wall.
Oh, I like John Wall in it, too.
And then James Harden.
James Harden?
Mm-hmm.
James I like. So why John four. Wall over James Harden? I think John Wall is getting
Well, I think John Wall plays... Both sides of the mm-hmm. floor, offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that you take John Wall, his attitude and his play away from this team, despite having Bradley Beal, who's a max player.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Beal doesn't put up the numbers that he puts up.
Because mm-hmm.
Although Bradley Beal has improved his game off the dribble.
Yes.
He's not the creator.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't create for others.
Create for himself and others.
Yeah.
Gortat, those pick and roll.
All John Wall.
John Wall. Otto Porter having the space to hit those knockdown threes wide open.
Yeah.
That's John Wall.
And John Wall finds him. He's the one that
John Wall mm-hmm. finds him. So for me, John Wall, he does it on both sides of the court. Not to say that James Harden didn't have a special season mm-hmm. because he averaged, like 29, 12 assists and 8 rebounds.
Yeah, 8 rebounds. He averaged 8 rebounds.
I mean, that's sick. And any other regular year, he would
be MVP easily.
MVP. But when you come out and you make the statement about it's predicated on wins.
Then you hurt your own argument.
You hurt your own argument because you don't have the most wins in Not in the league.
But yeah, so even like you hurt yourself. Like you're mad that you know that they're going to Westbrook over you. But your thing was your argument because you want it so bad. And it's the thing. James Harden is showing a pattern to me, which I'm not really becoming a fan of. That you did the same. You complained and kind of pouted when Steph Curry got it in 2015. You know what I mean? And that was a special season for Steph Curry. Same, and Westbrook's having a special season in 2017. Like, You're just having it. You're having your, unfortunately, you're having your great, your real, your best seasons when dudes are really going in. Like I'm sorry, that's what it is. Like if Westbrook didn't have that type of year, you would be the MVP.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
I mean, it would be most likely it'd be MVP, but it might be a Cole this year. Some people are saying that they can see a Cole, but I don't see it.
But I'm gonna tell you, can I tell you why I think it's gonna be a Cole? Why people are trying to go that Cole route? Because I'm guaranteeing you this. If James Harden had got the MVP in 2015, we would not get Cole talk. I think people feel bad for James Harden, not because they think that James Harden got robbed in 2015. It's because he wants it, and you can see it. Like, he wants it so bad, and it's like, man, you know, he's having a great season. You know what I mean? He's having a great season, but you know, like Russ really deserves it, right? But let's give him a Cole because it's gonna make him feel good. I really believe that. Like,
I hope there is a Cole MVP.
I think it's a Kyle Wade. I think it's easy to me. We're talking about a dude who averaged a triple double. I don't think it's that hard. Like, it should be hard. Like, if LeBron James averaged a triple-double, you think LeBron James is MVP? Yes.
Absolutely.
Easily. Like, it's not easily. So, if Kevin Durant averaged a triple-double, would he be MVP?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that hard. Exactly. So, Westbrook
got
it.
I'll say the only thing that could potentially prevent Westbrook from getting the MVP is voted on by the media.
Yeah.
And the media doesn't necessarily, from my understanding.
Agreed.
Russell Westbrook isn't a media darling.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the reason why, on a low, why Westbrook may not, why people are kind of going that route saying, yeah, we could do Co. You know what I mean? You know Westbrook deserves the MVP. I don't think it's a big argument. Anyway, on Twitter, my man George said, in terms of, you know, James Harden politic, and he said he believes it's cool. He said, yeah, why not? Better than players BSing about not wanting the award when they really want to do it. I get it. He said,
George talking about being real. I respect the passion, yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, your play speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know.
What's your performance on the court?
I just feel like
we'll get a chance to see who's the MVP because they'll face off in the first round of the playoffs.
We'll see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll get to see who's the real MVP. Well, I mean, we already, the award's pretty much already given, though, before then, though, right?
No, I don't think vote. I think you.
But the votes go in before the postseason. It's supposed to be that way.
It's supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to be regular season MVP, but yeah. I still think that will affect people's perception.
The banquet. Voting. Well, I know the banquet is now deeper than it used to be. Yeah. Like, now they have a banquet, they have like a award.
Yeah, no, look, because remember, they don't present it until the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know they're doing something different now, right? They're doing like this whole award show.
They're doing like
the
NFL.
Yeah, they're doing like
an
award show.
A money grab. Sickening.
Anyway, on Saturday, Vasily Lomachenko dominated. Vasily Lomachenko dominated Jason Sosa. Is Lomachenko pound for pound the best boxer in the game? We'll discuss that after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man.
You're listening to Urban Sports Scene. My boy Will T, myself Wally. I mentioned Lomachenko before the break. The junior lightweight champ defeated Jason Sosa TKO in the ninth round. This all took place at the MGM National Harbor. Did you go?
No.
You didn't go? I thought you would definitely go.
No, I had plans. I was busy. I wanted to go. I was hoping to go, but it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, man. I found out late that it was there. I was like, dang, I should have went there. But anyway, is Lomachenko right now the best boxer in the world?
No.
Who's better than Lomachenko? Don't say Bud Crawford.
Andre Ward.
Dang, we both like Andre Ward.
Ward, hands down. Look at the resume.
The resume is real, but Lomachenko is like,
right now. Lomachenko does things from a technical standpoint
that's freaking amazing.
Yeah, that wows you.
Yes.
Right? You know, his defense, he's a fan-friendly fighter because he lets his hands go.
Yeah.
He's able to change angles. And also, in the midst of changing an angle, is able to get shots in. He can fight a defensive fight. He can fight a smart defensive fight. He also can fight a very tactical and aggressive and smart offensive fight coming forward. He's a great boxer to watch. True tactician. A guy who fought over 300 amateur fights. I want to say he's 29. No, I don't think he's that old.
He's 29.
He's 29. So he's getting up there in age, and he's relatively young in his career, his professional career, that is. But he's a wonder to watch, and you know, hopefully, Bob Arum and Top Rank, they put him in the ring with inconsistently with top of the line competition.
And he's amazing.
And hopefully the competition wants to face him.
And he's amazing. Like you mentioned too, Wilty, like, you know, how he can get out, you know, how he can, like, go from side to side and then, you know, hit you with a shot. I mean, that just amazes me how he can just change angles that quick. It's like he's that quick when changing angles and in position to land a good shot. Not like a soft, you know, like a quick jab or a soft shot just to say, you know, I'm there. He hits you with a shot to know, okay, you know what? You can go down off this. And then he puts in combinations with it. I watching him Saturday night, I was just impressed. And just thinking to myself, like, the possibility. You know, we saw Manny Pacquiao back in the day where he moved up weight classes. Could you see Lomachenko doing that down the road?
Absolutely. I think he's going to have to fight the top of the line competition to keep him to keep his name up there in the pound for pound rankings. And skill wise, look, I mean, anyone who's watched his fight, you see that he's one of the better boxers.
Yeah,
offensively and defensively. But I think his body is a little bit older. So I think because of the age, he'll continue to push to fight the top elite fighters in various weight classes up until a weight that he can handle. I think realistically, probably 140 is probably where he'll max out at.
I'm gonna ask you, can you see him down the road fighting someone like a Bud Crawford or something like that?
Too big, right? By the time he makes it up to 140, Bud Crawford would be at 147.
He'll be like, okay. That's what I was trying to think. Like, so there's something that could be a mega fight, you know, down the road.
If he continues to keep fighting the way he is, you know, in the style that he fights at, you can see the comparisons to the way he fights offensively. I think he's better. He's a better technical offensive fighter than Manny Pacquiao was. But you see the fan-friendly, excited, letting his hands go, fast hands, fast feet style like Manny Pacquiao, a younger Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, that's what he reminds me of a little bit in terms of getting shots off in unexpected places because he's just so quick and so skilled in doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, we're about to wrap your show, Will T. Will T, what do you want to say to the people who were listening to us for like an hour?
Thank you for listening to us. You know, two regular guys like everyone else, fans. You know, we just sitting here talking sports.
Yeah, we talking sports, man. Two regular folks, man. I'm busy thinking about the next conquest, female conquest. I'm always thinking about that in my mind.
Hey, man. I mean, there are worse things you could be thinking of, so.
I know, right? Anyway, hey, thank you all for listening to us. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Megalita's out, big homie.